will the resignation of Commissioner Paul Brereton lead to a re-examination of the National Anti-Corruption Commission? Mr. Brereton quit the agency last week, dogged by questions about his ties to parties within the defence sector. On Friday, the Federal Attorney General flagged for the first time a wider review of the three-year-old body.
I've never stated anything but support for the Commissioner and confidence in Commissioner Brereton. But this does give us an opportunity with these new appointments to have a reset, and I will be engaging across the Parliament to make sure that that happens.
That's the Attorney General, Michelle Rowland, speaking on AM on Friday. Anthony Wheely, KC, is a barrister and chair of the Centre for Public Integrity. He's also a former Assistant Commissioner to the New South Wales Independent Commission Against Corruption and joins me now. Anthony Wheely, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Sally.
Do you agree that it's time for a bit of a reset of the NAC?
I think it certainly is. It's been a disappointing 3 years, and we had such high hopes for the NAC, and it hasn't reached the heights we wanted it to. And so I agree that this is an important, indeed a pivotal moment, to restore public trust in one of our most important democratic institutions.
A disappointing 3 years in which way?
Well, because the, well, two reasons really. First of all, because the NAC has been embroiled in so much controversy around the Commissioner and his associations with the Defence Force and his failure to manage conflicts of interest properly. You know, one of the big jobs the NAC performs is to explore and investigate people's failure to understand conflicts of interest, because that can often lead to corruption. There's a sort of dreadful irony in the fact that the NAC's public profile has been that of the Commissioner, who's been unable to manage his conflicts of interest appropriately. So that's the problem, I think. And here we have the opportunity to change that. And I think really, Sally, there's just three simple things that need to be done. One, we need to get a proper procedures in the selection process. And by that, I mean published criteria, a wide call for applicants. We need to get an independent panel that assesses all the applicants and their applications and then makes recommendations to the minister. And then we need to have the minister accept the from those recommendations the person most suitable. And that's, I think, the first and important thing. Secondly, we need to change the culture of the organisation, because it has been mired in secrecy, it's been overly legalistic, and I think it's been very defensive and averse to criticism. Those characteristics shouldn't be there, and I think with appropriate leadership we can see a great improvement on all those fronts. After all, it's called accountability, and we must have a body that's prepared to be accountable to the public, and we must have a body that operates in the public sphere so that the public can see what it's up to, how it's doing its job. We want to be sure it's acting fairly. With this body, over the last 3 years, we haven't had any public hearings at all. And of course, that's the third thing we need to do, Sally, and that is to get rid of the exceptional circumstances test that has really bogged this body down in a mire of secrecy.
Mm. Paul Brereton stepped down as Commissioner last week. Did he make the right decision to do that?
I think he did. I'm actually an admirer of Paul Brereton. I mean, he was a fellow judge with me, and he was a fine judge and a fine intellect. But I just don't think he was, as it turns out, he was the right man for the job. You can debate why that might have been so. But I think, as I've said, the failure to really comprehend conflicts of interest and to deal with them appropriately is what has led to this sorry state where the Commissioner has decided to resign.
How do you reflect on the gap between the original aspirations for the National Anti-Corruption Commission and what the past 3 years have delivered?
Well, I was most excited 3 years ago when the government pushed the legislation through. I was terrifically excited, Sally, except for one thing, that in the last week and without notice to all of us who'd been involved in assisting the Attorney General in drafting the legislation to make it as powerful as possible, the government and the opposition joined together to introduce the exceptional circumstances test, which just put a kibosh on transparency and accountability, as far as I was concerned. So that dampened down my enthusiasm. But I thought, nevertheless, look, if the commissioner's brave enough, he'll just say, look, here's an important case in front of us, like the Robodebt one, and he'll say, gosh, if there was ever a case that was exceptional circumstances as this one, let's have a public hearing. But he didn't, and there haven't been any public hearings. And as I say, watching the way in which so much attention's been focused on the commissioner, and watching the way in which the organisation has become more adverse to criticism, has been disappointing from my perspective. And I genuinely want to see public trust restored in this very important body.
Has the commission lacked some social licence as a result of its closed-door processes?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the public haven't got a clue what's been happening there, and that's why there's a lower level of trust in this body than there should have been. What you want is a leader who will be a person of outstanding integrity and courage, who will fearlessly lead in the pursuit of uncovering corrupt conduct without fear or favour. That's what the public want to see, and that hasn't happened over the last 3 years, and I think that's led to a disappointment and a loss of trust.
If you have someone of that kind of character, is there enough room under the current structure of the NAC to have more open hearings?
Well, even under the current structure, there is, because, you know, there's only one other jurisdiction in Australia that has this fetter on public hearings, and that's Victoria. Everybody who's interested in integrity has been criticising Victoria for that for years. But we've had commissioners there like Robert Redlich. He still held public hearings. Of course, every time he did so, somebody would try and litigate him in the Supreme Court and say, oh, you demonstrate that there are exceptional circumstances. But he managed to do it, and he had a number of public hearings. And so you can, but it just makes it so much harder, Sally, so much harder.
Anthony Whealy, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming back to Breakfast.
Always a pleasure.